Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series on healing that I started this week, on Monday of this week, talking about healing. And basically, I've just been trying to establish that healing is valid for us today, that people are still sick today, and God has never changed. He's the same. He used to heal the sick in His day. He still heals the sick today if people will just believe and receive. But it's not God's lack of willingness to heal that's the problem. The problem has been that most people have coped with the sickness and the suffering and the disease that we see. And rather than say it's not God's fault, and they certainly aren't going to say, well, it's because I don't know the Word of God and I don't know how to believe God. And rather than accept any responsibility themselves, they just say, well, this isn't for us today. Either the non-religious have just never been told this stuff, and so they assume by looking around that people don't receive miraculous healings today. Or if it's a religious person, most of the religious system today actually teaches against healing and tells you that those kind of things passed away with the apostles. And when I start teaching on healing, you know, here I am trying to get people well. You would think that nobody would complain about that. That would be something that, well, you know, if there's only one person that receives what you say and they get well, that'd be good. But I can guarantee you I'll get a lot of criticism because there's people that don't want to believe that God heals. Because if it was true that it was God's will to heal, well, then what about all of the people that are just sitting here and suffering and they're struggling and people that die? And they would say, you mean I could have believed God and we could have received a miracle? This person didn't have to die. This person didn't have to be in hurt and pain all of their life. And rather than accept the fact that maybe we aren't receiving everything, and that would mean that we have to change and that we have to accept responsibility, and maybe we just can't sit and watch 5 or 6 hours worth of television a day, and we're going to have to get into the Word and we're going to have to start growing. And rather than accept that responsibility, most people just respond by saying, well, those things don't happen today. Or some people will respond by saying, well, it was God's will for this person to go. Like when my dad died at 12 years old, the pastor of the Baptist church I went to, he came to me, and I remember walking in. I knew when the pastor came over to our house, something was up. And my mother had been staying at the hospital for weeks with my dad, and so we were actually staying with some other people. And when the pastor of the church walked in, I knew something was up. And he says, well, God needed your dad in heaven more than you needed him. God took him today. And they credited this to God, that it was God's will. And it wasn't God's will that my father died at 54 years of age. It wasn't God that killed him. And yet, see, this is a way that religion basically copes with this. And I tell you, there's a lot of people, when I start talking about these things, this really rubs a lot of people the wrong way. But I'm telling you, you've got to face some of these things and realize that God wants you well, that healing is in Christ's atonement, that it's part of what was purchased for you. It is not just optional. You know, let me take this very word, sozo. This is a Greek word that was translated healed or made whole, and it is basically the most all-inclusive word in the New Testament for salvation. It's translated salvation, saved, hundreds of times in the New Testament. But this Greek word, sozo, it's spelled S-O-Z-O, but it's pronounced as if it's S-O-D-E, and then Z-O is the way it's pronounced, sozo. And it literally means to make whole, to save, heal, to protect or make whole, whether it's literal or figurative. It was used, made whole, in the Bible when the woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus and she said, if I can touch but the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. And she touched. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 22, Mark 5, 34, Luke 8, 48, this same Greek word, sozo, was translated made whole in reference to healing. Also in James chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil, praying over him in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The word save right there, of course, is talking about healing their body. It's not talking about that you get your sins forgiven. It's applied directly to healing. And my point for bringing this up is to say that if you go to the Bible and just take this word sozo that is used hundreds of times to refer to forgiveness of sins, it also refers to the healing of your body. And if you actually study out salvation in the Bible and in the Greek, it is not broken up into just the forgiveness of your sins. And then, you know, there's other things like God could heal your body. God could bless you financially. God could help you emotionally. But no, all of this is included in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is a very, very important point. This is like the first nail in the wall that I hang things on when it comes to the subject of healing. You've got to know, is it God's will or not? You know, one of the catchphrases, one of the default phrases that religion uses a lot, they just pray and say, Lord, if it be your will, do this. And they'll refer back to Jesus and say, well, he prayed, Lord, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. That is not what those scriptures say. And I'm not going to spend time. I could literally spend 30 minutes or 40 minutes teaching on that. But if you'll go look it up, he didn't just say, if it's your will, and not know. What he said was, Lord, here's what I want. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He was saying, I will submit to your will. And he knew what God's will was, which was to go ahead and be crucified and bear the sins of the world, and he submitted to it. It was a prayer of commitment and submission, not a prayer like you just throw your prayer out there and que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. This way that people pray where they say, Lord, if it be your will, is wrong. The scripture says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. That means he's not going to criticize you. He's not going to say, well, you stupid person, you're in this mess, you caused it, you just deal with it. I'm going to let you stew in your own juice. No, that's not the way that God is. If you're in a mess, yes, you probably had something to do with it. It may be the enemy that caused this problem, but maybe we haven't, you know, in the area of healing, maybe we haven't taken care of ourselves, we haven't exercised, we hadn't eaten right, we hadn't done everything right. And yes, we probably have part to play with this, but if you come to the Lord and say, God, give me wisdom, what do I need to do to receive this healing? He's not going to upbraid you. He's not going to criticize you and tell you it's just your fault. You got to live with it. So again, James 1, 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his way. Now see right there, it's saying that if you don't know God's will, then pray and get God's will. Have him tell you. In other words, this prayer of, Lord, if it be your will, and you just say, we're just going to wait and see. And if it works, it must have been God's will for him to be well. If it doesn't work, it must have been God's will for him to die. That's not right. That's not the way that the scripture tells you to approach things. If you don't know God's will, go to James 1, 5 through 8 and pray and get wisdom and find out what God's will is. And then according to 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of him. So you have to pray according to God's will. This prayer of God, if it be your will, and you just leave it up to God, you aren't going to receive. You know, I could go through more scriptures. I could make this much more detailed and hopefully convince people, but I'm just not going to spend a whole program or 2 days program trying to make this. If you would just be honest, if you would think you aren't going to receive from God if you don't pursue the things of God, it doesn't just automatically come to pass. You don't get born again by saying, well, Lord, if it's your will, I'll receive salvation. No, you have to believe that Jesus died for your sins. You have to confess with your mouth. You have to believe with your heart. And you have to pursue the things of God. If you pursue it, you'll get it. If you don't, you won't. And that's true with healing. This whole attitude of, well, I know that God can heal, but we just don't know if it is God's will. Well, then you ought to go to the Word of God and find out, what does the Word say? And like I've been using, this Greek word for salvation was also translated made whole, heal, in a number of different places. And you can see that salvation included the healing of your body. It wasn't just forgiveness of sins. I think that one of the worst things that's happened in the body of Christ is that over 2,000 years since Jesus established the church, we have degenerated. And today, we have people that say salvation is just about the forgiveness of your sins. Jesus came to forgive the sins of the world. Well, certainly He came to forgive the sins of the world, and He did it. But that's not all He did. He also took stripes on His back for your physical healing. He also became poor so that you through His poverty might be made rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says that. That's a part of what Jesus came to do. He also came to deliver you from the oppression of the devil. Matter of fact, there's an Old Testament scripture that says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that same scripture is quoted, and it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it shows you that part of salvation is deliverance, freedom from the oppression of the devil. And then you put with that Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So salvation includes healing, the forgiveness of your sins, the physical deliverance from the oppression of the devil, and financial prosperity and blessing. And I think it's one of the greatest travesties that ever happened that people have come along and just said, all right, we're only going to preach this portion and we're going to say that this is what Jesus died to do because the other things are controversial. Because the other things, if we preach healing, it doesn't seem like every single person gets healed, and we're going to have to deal with the problems here and talk about why isn't every person healed and deal with this. And so let's just not talk about that because it's going to offend somebody. Somebody's going to be hurt. And so they just don't talk about healing. They don't talk about prosperity. They don't talk about deliverance because those things are things that, you know, not everybody agrees on. So let's just preach one portion of it. I tell you, that's wrong. If you could imagine that if I was God and if I took one of my sons and crucified him and saw him suffer and it produced not only the forgiveness of your sins, if it was going to stop the hatred between us and it was going to remove all of the problems and bring us back into unity, well, that would be good. But if also I had him bear stripes and be brutalized. Like some of you saw that movie, The Passion of the Christ, and I don't even believe that that fully illustrated, but it was brutal. And if you can picture that in your mind's eye and see what it was like when Jesus was physically beaten, and you do that to your own son so that you could provide healing for people. And then it says in 2 Corinthians 8 that Jesus became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich. And of course, this is a relative statement. Jesus, of course, was God in heaven with all of the glory and the world and the universe and everything. And He left that to become a man. And He walked down here and He had to work and do things to make a living. He was a carpenter with His father, Joseph. And, you know, in relative terms, Jesus became poor so that we through His poverty might be made rich. And if I was to do that for you and do not only sacrifice my sons just to stop the hostility, but then also to heal your body and to deliver you and to prosper you. And if I did all of these things and went to all of this effort, and if you came and said, well, I appreciate what you've done, but you know what? I'm only going to receive 1/4 of this. I really appreciate the fact that now we aren't going to be at odds with each other anymore. And so now the hostility is gone, and thank you, but these other things, they just aren't important to me. I'm not going to receive those. I tell you what, that wouldn't bless me. It would make me feel like, well, why did I pay this price? Why did I go to this effort? My son suffered all of these things, and you're only going to receive 1/4 of them. Just pick and choose what you think is important. That wouldn't please me. I guarantee you, if I was God, good thing that I'm not God, I think I might turn us all into a pile of ashes and just blast them. But praise God, He's bigger than that. He loves us even though we haven't received everything that He's provided for us. But I tell you what, I don't believe it pleases God. I don't believe that He is pleased with the way that we are just picking and choosing and saying, well, we'll receive the forgiveness of sins, but the healing of our body, we believe you could do that, but I'm not going to accept that as being something that you provided, when the Bible very clearly states that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. It was done. Let me just use some scriptures over here. Isaiah chapter 53. I've used these verses often in teaching on different things like the war is over. But breaking right into the midst of this, it says in verse 3, He is despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Jesus didn't just die for the forgiveness of our sins, but He died to set us free from grief and sorrow. Surely He bore our griefs and our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Again, I made reference to this earlier in the week, but the church has not preached healing, physical healing. They have discredited it, and they've taken all of the verses in the Bible that talk about physical healing, and they have spiritualized them to the point that people don't even recognize that this is talking about physical healing. There's a lot of people. I read this verse before the Lord really changed my life, and I had it explained so many times that I just automatically defaulted to thinking that this was talking about, well, He healed me emotionally. He set me free from my sin and my sense of guilt and condemnation. And there is a proper place for that. Yes, God does heal us emotionally. But this isn't talking about just limited to emotional, spiritual healing. This is talking about the physical healing of our bodies. Over here in Matthew chapter 8 is an instance where Jesus was ministering healing to people, and they brought all of the sick. He healed Peter's mother-in-law. Which, you know what, you can't have a mother-in-law if you don't have a wife. So for those who believe that Peter was the first pope and never got married, that kind of kills that doctrine right there. He healed Peter's mother-in-law, and then because of all of these healings, people begin to come from everywhere. And it says in Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 16, it says, and when even was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with devils, and He cast out the spirit with His word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. That's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. We just read that, and over in Isaiah 53, 4, it says, Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. When that was quoted by Matthew in the New Testament, it was quoted this way. It says that this was fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet, saying Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And again, I could go back into the Hebrew words from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, and show you that the word sorrows and grief literally are talking about the sorrows and griefs associated with physical sickness and disease. And it was interpreted that way. You don't have to know the Greek or the Hebrew. You could just take the Word of God, and if you keep reading, the Word of God will be a commentary on itself, and it will explain the Word. And so, when this verse was quoted in the New Testament, the words sickness and disease were substituted for the words sorrows and grief in the Old Testament, showing you that this isn't just spiritualized. It's not just talking about spiritual, emotional healing. Jesus died, and by His stripes you are healed physically. That's what these verses are saying. And this scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew said this is the fulfillment, the physical healing of these bodies. It didn't talk about the people being born again. It didn't talk about them getting their sins forgiven in this context. It was talking about people being healed. And it says that this physical healing of their bodies was the fulfillment of the Old Testament passage. It says He bore our sorrows and griefs. Here it says that He bore our sicknesses and our diseases. It's talking about physical healing. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Here again, it's talking about physical healing. And notice this, that it couples the forgiveness of your sins. In the first part of that verse, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." It talks about the forgiveness of your sins and the healing of your body in the exact same verse. Here's another passage of Scripture. It goes right along with that. It's Psalms 103, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." In the exact same verse, it talks about the forgiveness of your sins and the healing of your bodies. The point that I'm trying to get across is that healing is for us. Healing is God's will. God wants you well. This is not right the way that the church has said, "Oh, well, the only thing that is guaranteed, the only thing that Jesus really came to do for every person and that any person can receive is the forgiveness of your sins." No, that's wrong. The very Greek word sozo that was translated salvation was also translated made whole in reference to healing. It was also talking about that you would be healed. If the elders prayed a prayer of faith over you and anointed you with oil, you would be healed of that disease. The very Greek word that is talking about salvation includes healing. Here I've given you examples of where healing is used in the same verse in Psalms 103, verse 3, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I've used the Scripture in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 that quotes the Old Testament passage from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, and it substitutes the words infirmities and diseases for sorrows and griefs and shows that when it says, "By His stripes you are healed," it is talking about the physical healing of your body. You know, the very prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus taught us how to pray, He says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it's very clear in Scripture, in the book of Revelation, that in heaven there's no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more crying, no more disease. God wants to set you free. It is God's will for you to be well. And I know that there are many of you that know God could do it, but you have no confidence that God really wants you well. Many of you think that God is punishing you, that you deserve everything that you're getting. And you may have done things wrong that allowed the devil to come against you. But I'm telling you, God does not want you to suffer. God does not want you to limp through life with some deformity or some pain or some problem that just incapacitates you the rest of your life. It is God's will for you to be well. God wants you well. That is God's will. And that's what we're talking about. And I believe that this is going to help you to receive God's healing power in your life. I'm out of time today, but I do encourage you to listen and please get all of these materials. I got a brand new book on God Wants You Well and an entire package of materials that we've entitled A Better Healthcare Package. And so please listen as our announcer gives you that information and call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled God Wants You Well is available in a brand new book for a gift of $14 or more. Request book number T330 when you contact us. You can also get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T430. The entire series is also available on either CD or DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is available for a gift of $30 or more. Request item T1036C for the CDs or item T1036D for the DVDs. Or you can receive the book, study guide, and album as part of the Better Healthcare Package. The package includes your choice of either the CD or DVD series, the new God Wants You Well book, along with a companion study guide, plus Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2, and the Healing Scriptures CD. The entire package has a catalog value of $136, but today we'd like to offer it to you for a gift of $100 or more. To get the Better Health Care Package, request item T4505. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The first teaching in the God Wants You Well CD series titled Healing is in Christ's Atonement is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that many of you are being blessed by this teaching, and not only is it helping you, but you know that there are many people that just haven't heard this good news, that God loves them and wants them well, and you're excited about the word going out. You know, I'd like to ask you, if you haven't yet become a partner with us, to please become a partner and help us get this truth out. We spend close to $1 million a month in just television and radio airtime, and it's about to increase dramatically. And I couldn't do that by myself. The only reason I can do this is because other people recognize that God is using this ministry to set people free and get the truth to them, and they want to help. And so we have people who are partners. If you haven't yet become a partner, we have a number on your screen. I encourage you to call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for a Gospel Truth seminar next week, April 15th through the 17th, and at the Solid Rock of Atlanta, April 18th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth seminar May 13th through the 15th, and in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp May 28th through the 31st. For those of you looking forward to our annual Summer Family Bible Conference, remember to mark your calendars and join us in Colorado Springs, June 28th through July 2nd.
This Bible teacher started with the simple message of God's unconditional love and grace. For years, he and his wife duplicated teaching tapes in their own home. He went on radio and often gave his teachings away to those who asked for them. Years later, a small building was needed to house a few volunteers and employees. The ministry grew until it was bursting at the seams. Soon, the next 15,000 square foot building became too small as a Bible college and television ministry were launched. Today, a 110,000 square foot building is running out of room. 157 acres have been purchased to accommodate the growth, but the message remains the same. It's the gospel truth. For a complete report on this story, go to awmi.net and click on Today's News feature. Invest yourself in the message of God's unconditional love and grace.